Chapter 42.
Plankton? Frozen in the glacier?
Corky Marlinson sounded not at all sold on Rachel's explanation.
Not to rain on your parade, but usually when things freeze, they die. These little buggers were flashing us, remember?
Actually, Tallinn said, giving Rachel an impressed look, she may have a point. There are a number of species that enter suspended animation when their environment requires it. I did an episode on that phenomenon once. Rachel nodded.
You showed northern pike that got frozen in lakes and had to wait until the thaw to swim away. You also talked about microorganisms called water bears that became totally dehydrated in the desert, remained that way for decades, and then reinflated when rains returned.
Tallinn chuckled. So you really do watch my show? Rachel gave a slightly embarrassed shrug.
What's your point, Miss Sexton?
Nora demanded. Her point, Tallinn said, which should have dawned on me earlier, is that one of the species I mentioned on that program was a kind of plankton that gets frozen in the polar ice cap every winter, hibernates inside the ice, and then swims away every summer when the ice cap thins. Tallinn paused. Granted, the species I featured on the show was not the bioluminescent species we saw here, but maybe the same thing happened.
Frozen plankton,
Rachel continued, excited to have Michael Tallinn so enthusiastic about her idea,
could explain everything we're seeing here. At some point in the past, fissures could have opened in this glacier, filled with plankton-rich saltwater, and then refroze. What if there were frozen pockets of saltwater in this glacier? Frozen saltwater containing frozen plankton. Imagine if while you were raising the heated meteorite through the ice, it passed through a frozen saltwater pocket. The saltwater ice would have melted, releasing the plankton from hibernation and giving us a small percentage of salt mixed in the freshwater.
Oh, for the love of God, Nora exclaimed with a hostile groan. Suddenly everyone's a glaciologist.
Corky also looked skeptical.
But wouldn't Pods have spotted any brine ice pockets when it did its density scans? After all, brine ice and freshwater ice have different densities.
Barely different, Rachel said.
4% is a substantial difference, Nora challenged.
Yes, in a lab, Rachel replied. But Pods takes its measurements from 120 miles up in space. Its computers were designed to differentiate between the obvious, ice and slush, granite and limestone.
She turned to the administrator.
Am I right to assume that when Pods measures densities from space, it probably lacks the resolution to distinguish brine ice from fresh ice?
The administrator nodded.
Correct. A 4% differential is below Pods' tolerance threshold. The satellite would see brine ice and fresh ice as identical.
Tallinn now looked intrigued. This would also explain the static water level in the shaft. He looked at Nora. You said the plankton species you saw in the extraction shaft was called
G. polyhedra, Nora declared. And now you're wondering if G. polyhedra is capable of hibernating inside the ice. You'll be pleased to know the answer is yes.
Absolutely. G. polyhedra is found in droves around ice shelves. It bioluminesces, and it can hibernate inside the ice. Any other questions?
Everyone exchanged looks. From Nora's tone, there was obviously some sort of but, and yet it seemed she had just confirmed Rachel's theory.
So, Tallinn ventured, you're saying it's possible, right? This theory makes sense.
Sure, Nora said. If you're totally retarded.
Rachel glared.
I beg your pardon.
Nora Manger locked stares with Rachel.
I imagine in your business a little bit of knowledge is a dangerous thing. Well, trust me when I tell you that the same thing holds true for glaciology.
Nora's eyes shifted now, looking at each of the four people around her.
Let me clarify this for everyone once and for all. The frozen brine pockets that Miss Sexton has proposed do occur. They are what glaciologists call interstices. Interstices, however, form not as pockets of salt water, but rather as highly branched networks of brine ice, whose tendrils are as wide as a human hair. That meteorite would have had to pass through one hell of a dense series of interstices to release enough salt water to create a 3% mixture in a pool that deep.